Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a smartphone that we reviewed recently, which is the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1. Now, this smartphone is important because it's in the budget segment of the industry, and that means that there is so much competition, and even then, this has managed to shine in our review. And to speak about this, we've got the person who's reviewed it. That's Jamshed Awari.
Heyo.
He's our reviews editor and he regularly looks at a whole bunch of Android phones across the spectrum, which makes him the perfect person to comment on this one, especially as he's put in a week of testing or more behind it. And he's also spoken to the people who have sort of been involved in the making of this phone. So that gives us a better perspective at what Asus is aiming for. Now, before we get into the smartphone itself, we should say that, like, over the past maybe 2 years or so, Xiaomi has become a very important player in the budget segment of the industry, and it has reached a stage where if we were to make any list of best phones in the budget segment, we would have at least one Xiaomi phone in every segment. So now, in that kind of an environment, any smartphone company that comes up with a phone which competes strongly against a similarly priced Xiaomi product, that is worth noting, and Asus has done just that here. So Jamshed, why don't you tell us more about the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1? I believe the pricing is the first point we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously Asus wants to make a huge splash. Obviously they want to grab attention everywhere. And so they've done it, not just in India, but in other countries. Indonesia had a simultaneous launch as well. And the price is 10,999 for the variant with 3GB RAM and 32GB storage, and 12,999 for 4GB RAM, 64GB storage. So that's really, really interesting because, as you pointed out, Xiaomi is dominant right now. And Asus is trying to say that, you know, you're getting the spec of the Redmi Note 5 Pro at the price of the Redmi Note 5. And that is somewhat true. The prices do interleave. This 10,999 price for 3GB and 32GB doesn't really have an equivalent because the Redmi Note 5 Pro starts with 464. But even then, if you look at those, Asus has undercut Xiaomi by 1,000 rupees. And that's just on the processor.
Yeah, and that is a very important point because in the budget segment, even a 1,000 rupee price difference could make a big difference in terms of the number of people who can afford that phone and the number of people who will go for this phone over the Xiaomi.
Sure, and there are other points of appeal such as the larger battery, the front flash, the dedicated individual SIM slots plus micro SD slot.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that.
And what about a dual camera setup?
I mean, so this technically qualifies as dual cameras, but you've got a 13 megapixel main camera on the rear and a depth sensor for bokeh effects.
Yeah.
And I think people look at dual camera and they would not expect anything less. You know, like you have to have dual cameras or it'll just be like, oh, there's this huge feature that you've skipped. But honestly, you've got to look at how much utility it has and how good it actually is.
Okay. So I think we've spoken a bit about the pricing and how it stacks up against the Redmi Note 5 Pro. But the Redmi Note 5 Pro is probably like the best performing phone in terms of like our review and the scores we gave in that price segment. So like you've reviewed the Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1 and I did notice that the score was like it stacks up favorably in terms of the, you know, competition.
Yeah, so it's really important to note that we tested both these phones with pre-release software. We will have to account for minor optimizations, but we still get a general idea of where they lie. And yes, Asus did have an advantage. Slight overall, but yes, an advantage.
So if I look at the review ratings for both the phones, there's only one glaring thing that stands out, which is for the Xiaomi Redmi Note 5 Pro, software is rated at 7. So MIUI is something that has been a hot topic of debate. I know that the Gadget 360 team does not really look at it as favorably as a bunch of Mi fans who I meet outside who swear by MIUI. But, you know, since you've seen both the phones and since you've seen the software at both the phones, what do you think?
So, I mean, there's one side of it, which is just, you know, your personal preference or even your philosophical preference about customization versus standardization. But where Xiaomi was lacking is not in terms of the features, not in terms of the user experience so much, but more in terms of the fact that the underlying version of Android was 7.1.2 and it still hasn't been updated to the best of my knowledge. And so you miss out on a couple of interesting things, and you miss out on that security that you have, that, you know, we will get the security updates, we will get the feature updates. Asus, on the other hand, went with Android 8.1 stock. And you do have some level of assurance, like the company is promising to support the next version of Android, and then says that, you know, it's not completely in their hands. They're not, you know, signed up to the Android One program, for instance, like Nokia. But to the best of their ability, their intention is to support the second version from now, which is Android Q, presumably.
So Android P and Android Q is the update they're assuring at the moment.
No, they're not assuring. But they're saying that they completely intend to go that far. It's not 100% in their hands. They can't say what will happen 2 years out, which I think is a fair and honest sort of posture to take.
Don't overpromise and underdeliver, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to, you know, sort of convince people that you do have an ambition and that you are around for the long term, which maybe is a level of assurance that a lot of people don't have with some of the other brands that have passed through our, you know, test center.
All right. So one aspect that I believe you wanted to talk about, Jamshed, is the stock Android versus Zen UI thing. Like I was under the impression that this is very, very close to stock Android, what we get on the Zenfone Max Pro M1.
Yeah. Yes. So stock Android is something that has surprised most people when they first hear about this phone. And it's probably one of the biggest selling points, because we've talked about MIUI and its relative weaknesses. But a lot of people in India seem to have this huge love for stock Android. And that's something that Asus says came about through market research. And this was a huge surprise for the company. I thought that it would be a painful decision, because even as recently as MWC in Barcelona, where we saw a presentation about the Zenfone 5 generation, a lot of time was dedicated to Zen UI. And this company really, really seems to be proud of the number of customizations and optimizations that you get, and the amount of work that has gone into it. So traditionally, I think the company has prioritized differentiation. So I asked the company, you know, is this now going to be a blanket thing? And it's pretty interesting, because I think that it's going to be different in maybe in different territories and at different price segments. So stock Android is going to be the way that this 10,000 to 15,000 rupee segment in particular is targeted right now. But I'm still pretty sure that we'll see Zen UI on the higher end phones, particularly the 5Z. But there is also the other side to that stock Android coin, which is that all the Chinese brands that we have seem to prioritize things like, you know, having a single layer UI without a launcher, which is simple for a lot of people, or offering features that let you run two instances of an app, you know, with your two SIM cards, or just so that you can have, you know, one primary app and maybe another one for whatever reason you have, work or personal life, whatever it is. And then we've seen other features becoming popular, like, for example, the ability to lock down some apps with a fingerprint and facial recognition, which is something that Asus has promised, but it wasn't in our review sample. So that is something that will be implemented in the final firmware, and we tested a pre-sale version. So you have to see that stock Android, where it has the appeal that it does, there are also these other customizations that a lot of companies have used in order to stand out from the rest and in order to leverage some amount of popularity. And Asus seems to have chosen not to go down that route. You can still do some things with stock Android. You can still run two apps side by side. You still get the Android 8 features like notification dots and, you know, custom actions and notifications in a menu when you long press on individual app icons. But customers will have to decide what they value most. And Asus seems to have taken the bet that they'll value stock Android and the promise of updates and the promise of, you know, long-term support over these kind of really useful customizations.
Yeah. So Asus has a, I mean, if I remember correctly, Asus has had a bit of a stop-start history with the Zenfone series.
Mm.
I think 3 or 4 years ago, they had this huge tie-up with Intel, which was also trying to get into the mobile phone space with its own chipsets.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to note that Asus was one of the first companies to actually kick off the low-price smartphone war in India 4 years ago. With the original Zenfone 4, 5, and 6.
Mm.
And the things that they've gone through with their naming conventions and the confusion that has resulted from them is a whole other topic of discussion. But this is a complete reset for the company. It's a complete fresh start. They're going back to the original strategy of focusing on the value market, which is where the bulk of the, you know, action is in India. And it's the shock and awe tactic of literally going for the jugular by targeting Xiaomi, which is sort of, you know, untouchable for the last few months or years.
Yeah, it is. It almost seemed like no company could trump the price to performance ratio that Xiaomi offered. But then based on your review, at least, it seems that Asus comes really close and beats it in some aspects. So the one thing that really, really struck to me, like based on your review, is that you gave it a 10 on 10 value for money rating, which is, you know, what we were discussing just now, that it's very hard to compete with Xiaomi on value for money. But does the Asus Zenfone M1, right?
Zenfone Max Pro M1, which, yes, the naming.
Yeah, does it, you know, do that?
So our value for money rating takes a lot of things into account. Number one, there's the spec. Which is unbeatable. Like Xiaomi itself has been unbeatable, and this now beats that. And we have a pretty good idea of what Motorola is going to offer with its G6 series in this price range, because it's been launched internationally. And we don't see it really coming close spec-wise, which is a huge surprise, because up until now, even if you look at our most recent lists of the best phones under 15,000 rupees, it's really a two-horse race. It's just Xiaomi Moto, Xiaomi Moto, Xiaomi Moto.
One more thing which I wanted to bring up is that so far we've only spoken about all the good things about this phone. So
yes,
where does it disappoint, really?
So I touched upon those things, right? One question is the glass in the front. Is it shatterproof? You know, we obviously didn't like fling it at the, you know, the walls or the floor in order to test
maybe not
that.
The most practical thing to do when you get a test unit that you have to return.
Oh, yes. So,
yeah.
Oh, yes. That is a question mark. Now, there's no case. There's no screen protector pre-applied or in the box.
What about headphones? Do you get headphones in the box?
You don't get headphones in the box, but you do get this little cardboard accessory that the company is describing as a passive amplifier, which, I mean, is an extremely generous term to use for what something...
Basically, what, you can cup your hand to the speaker and get the same effect?
Pretty much. I mean, it works as a little stand, and it'll work for music because the phone has to be upright. Obviously, it doesn't work so well in landscape mode. But it folds away. It's actually kind of cute, if I can use that word for it. It's amusing. It's something that, you know, the company could just honestly give away. It's literally just cardboard, although it does have magnets, so you can fold it into a tiny rectangle and it pops open, and then, you know, it stays put when you open it out. There is a little bit of improvement in sound, but that's down to your perception, right? Because of how...
Yeah.
It is when you're sitting. And it also depends on whether it's at table height or whether you, you know, hold it or whatever. But I mean, it's a little talking point, really. It's an amusement. It's not a huge
thing. Yeah, exactly. That's
thing.
That's the word I was looking for.
Let's put it this way. It's better than nothing. But no, there's no headset in the box. All you get is a charger and a cable. I'll also say that there's no official support for quick charging, even though the Snapdragon 636 should support that. But Asus does promise quick charging in the sense that it shouldn't take too long. Although we did see that it went, you know, to somewhere over 2 hours to get. And then, I mean, on the other hand, you have a 5,000 milliamp battery, right? The tank is larger. It will take longer to fill. So can you really hold that against the phone? You know, that's a debate.
However,
but
in
it
your
charged
review...
rapidly up to about 15%.
Yeah, so...
You know, so in the sense that quick charging is useful to, you know, get you out the door when you need to get going in a hurry and you can't wait around, I think that's nice to have.
Yes, in your review, you do mention that the battery life is relatively disappointing.
And that's something that, you know, so for us to test battery life where you claim something like 25 hours of video playback, which this company does claim, it takes 25 hours to test it. So if that is something that has improved with software updates, or if that's something that does improve only with the final software update, it's just a matter of time. You know, we will know that when we know that.
Okay, fine. So finally, there's one more thing which I wanted to point out, which is the camera app on this phone, maybe not the best, but in general in Android, there is this whole stock camera app issue. The Google camera app, I believe, is not available to all manufacturers, mm-hmm. so they don't bundle it. It's only there in Google's own Nexus and Pixel series of phones, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And that creates a unique situation where, like, most people get a subpar camera app and we have issues like whatever we faced with the Zenfone.
Okay, so I'll just describe this app for a second because it was genuinely terrible. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It really is. I mean, something as simple as turning the flash on or off took 3 taps, where usually you should just have an icon right there. And there's no indicator also, so you don't even know if the flash is going to fire in your face. Something like HDR modes, even, you know, because this is a dual camera phone and you have that depth sensor, so you should have a portrait mode, but it's not that. There's a toggle for depth effect. So, you know, you constantly have to check whether that's on or off, and you might get an effect that you didn't necessarily want, things like that. It's just like a little extra friction that gets into it. Even something as simple as taking a video, 3 taps.
So I think, is there anything else you want to add? Jamshed, I believe you wanted to speak about the Make in India aspects and the Flipkart connection.
Yes. So one interesting thing is that this phone will be made in India eventually, but the company is pretty upfront in saying that it wanted to get it to market. It's, you know, going to be faster to get it done in its own factories in different parts of the world. And so the unit that we had a Made in China stamp on it. And I think we can expect the first few batches that are sold to also be made in China. But ultimately, if the company wants to achieve the kind of efficiency that it'll take to make these prices sustainable, it's really got to shift to that Make in India.
Yeah, so you don't expect a price cut whenever that happens, right?
No, because not at this all. Is a very aggressively priced phone. I think the company is very, very stretched to make it work right now at the level that it has announced.
Yeah, okay. And what about the Flipkart connection that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so here's some interesting little information that I thought we should put out there. And this comes from Asus CEO Jerry Shen directly, who I had the chance to speak with. Flipkart reps will be the first point of contact for a lot of customer service issues. And also, you know, Asus says that it has trained Flipkart reps to answer questions that might come up during the buying process, which I think is pretty interesting. And yeah, you have Flipkart contributing various things to the product development cycle as well. Like Flipkart has provided a lot of market insight to Asus, according to Asus' absolute top-level management. And there's a whole story behind the development of this phone itself, which is the fact that the India team took the lead on deciding everything about this phone, from the spec to the manufacturing to the supply chain and all of that. Flipkart apparently contributed quite a lot in terms of deciding the spec and, you know, every last little detail about the phone leveraged a lot of Flipkart's insight and analytics. As far as the partnership with Flipkart goes, you know, the company has told us that right now it's about this one product, but they certainly hope to expand, and we could see a whole slew of smartphones, you know, which are priced just as aggressively. And one thing I asked is that, you know, Asus is such a huge company with everything from components to laptops, you know, so are you going to leverage Flipkart for those? Are we going to see exclusives online? Are we going to see, you know, you're trying to penetrate more markets? And all I got was, you know, stay tuned. So Asus operates as multiple different companies, you know, structure-wise. I think we definitely will see more smartphones, but I think this company could really be aggressive and disruptive in many more product segments. I would love to see a laptop.
But I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But what I would definitely like to see is Asus competing with Xiaomi at every price segment. This is obviously the 10 to 15 price bracket, right? So what about the sub 10,000 price bracket? Over there, they need to compete with the likes of the Redmi 5.
I asked Asus what the ambition is. And, you know, whether it's going to stick to only low-end phones or only high-end phones or, you know, only phones aimed at special niches, like they've tried all these things in the past. And so what they said was the target price band is 5,000 to 50,000.
Hmm.
And at the top, I think we can well imagine that the Zenfone 5Z will occupy that space. You know, when you're going super premium, I don't think there's very much cause for customization, but we'll see how Asus competes with the likes of the OnePlus 6, which is where I think it will be positioned, the Zenfone 5Z, more than against, you know, your Samsung Galaxy S9s and iPhone 8s.
I suppose that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.